and Paul Michael.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI.
Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are alone. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you opened and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. And top of that, your partner has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded on.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday, this special Monday here in the city, as we listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Special because the annual Heart of America Shakespeare Festival opens tomorrow. And As I heard, they've been working it pretty hard over in Southmoreland Park, getting ready for the opening tomorrow. We're going to hear from the director, actually the executive artistic director, and we fear her, Sydney Garrett. She is with us, of course, and John Rensenhouse, well-known actor, especially when I think of John, I think of his Shakespeare, actually. But she's done many other things over the years. He actually holds the title of, here we go, chairman of the artistic committee over at Kansas City Actors Theater. So I fear him. As well.
As well, you should.
Welcome both.
Good to be
here. Welcome both of you to the show here today. It starts again. It's the 27th season, Sid. Does it seem like it's been that long?
It doesn't really seem possible, but it is indeed the 27th season. I haven't been there for all of those seasons, but I have been there for many of them. And I have to tell you, for anyone who's worried about heat, don't worry about it, because last night we were bundled up in parkas and finding as many coats as possible. It's been currently one of the coolest times we've ever had in the park. So
and Sydney, I hear it's going to stay cool for the entire 4 weeks that we run.
I hear the same thing, John. Definitely.
It's going to be beautiful out there every night.
I can tell you, at least for the next week, if you look at the forecast, we're definitely telling you the truth because it looks amazing.
Well, that's great. That means for big crowds and a big show, a little different focus this year than what you've had in the past.
Yes, it is, Michael. About 2.5 years ago, as arts organizations do, the festival was looking at our mission statement again and also in our strategic planning. And we had discussed before perhaps expanding our mission statement to include producing the works of Shakespeare and playwrights he inspired. And so we added that as part of our mission. And with the support and enthusiasm, I would say the enthusiastic support of our founder, Marilyn Strauss, who has since passed away, and we miss her very much and will not have her with us for the first season this year. With her full approval and support and vote, we changed our mission, and that has allowed us to do a play that is not written by Shakespeare for the first time.
Yeah, which means, of course, that... But you include cuttings from Shakespeare's work within the show, of course.
Yes, the show, the play itself, Shakespeare in Love, written by Tom Stoppard for the film, and a writing partner, Mark Norman, and then it was adapted for the stage by Lee Hall. So within the context of the play, it's about Shakespeare writing the play Romeo and Juliet. So you have a real love story right at the heart of this, and much of the dialogue is actual text from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. So there's plenty of Shakespeare to be found right in the middle of everything.
Well, John Renson plays the role of Philip Henslow.
Yes.
How does Philip Henslow fit into all this romance?
Philip Henslow is the manager of the theatrical company that is putting on Romeo and Juliet. He owns the Rose Theatre in London, and he's a little bit in debt and needs to put on a play to raise some funds. As if anybody thought that was a smart idea to make money on doing theater. So I'm the one running around trying to get Shakespeare to write the script. He seems to have a bit of a writer's block when the show starts. And finding the actors and doing all that, trying to get everything together. Trying to make sure it's a comedy with a shipwreck and a pirate king in it, because that's what really sells. Of course, Romeo and Juliet doesn't end up being any of those things. But
he was proud of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, very much so. It turned out to be a great hit for them.
So your character tries to get him... Why, is there a deadline for getting the play written in time? Is that
one
of the concerns?
Well, yes. The play opens. You witness me being at the mercy of one of my creditors, who I owe some money to, and which motivates my character throughout the play to try and get everything done and get that money paid back.
So this was a concern. Money was a concern even back then.
Indeed.
It's always a concern, yes.
Was he commissioned to write this particular play? I know he was some of his plays.
Yes, I paid him 3 sovereigns to write this play. Now, how much a sovereign was worth then, I have no idea.
Oh.
But I repeatedly say, I gave you 3 sovereigns for this play. Now, come on.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. How similar to it is it from the film?
It's very similar. It's very strictly adapted, I would say. There are a couple of rather large changes, but by and large, many of the scenes mirror the script for the film. And it moves like a film. It has a very cinematic quality to it. So in Shakespeare plays, you're used to some scenes being many, many pages long with longer, you know, many long speeches and interactions. And this play, many of the scenes are 2 to 5 pages long. So it moves very quickly. And we have to go to many different locations. We're at the Rose Theater, where Mr. Henslow runs the show. We're at the Curtain Theater, which was run by Richard Burbage. And that Philip Henslow is actually a real human from real life that is in this play, along with Richard Burbage. They both have theaters. Then we go to the palace where the queen is, so we get to meet Queen Elizabeth. We're also at the de Lesseps home, which is Viola's bedroom appears. We have a balcony there, so you may well imagine you're going to see a balcony scene that is reminiscent of Romeo and Juliet. And then we're at one point on the River Thames. So to be on a river in a boat on our stage, you know, that's a thing. We don't normally do that.
Well,
so,
sure.
You know, we're just in a lot of different places very quickly, and some of the actors are playing multiple roles. We have the biggest cast we've ever had to date. It's 27 actors, and one of them has 4 legs and is a canine actor, so we have a dog. So it's a huge show, and it's all in Elizabethan period. has an enormous amount of costumes of amazing, beautiful quality. The scenic elements, it's a very large stage as well. They always say play comedy wide and tragedy deep, so our stage is very wide this year. The play covers all the Shakespeare tropes. I mean, there is comedy, there is tragedy, there is romance, there is history that you get about the Elizabethan theater. There are sword fights.
I love sword fights.
There are sword fights. There is a wild and crazy scene about saving the script, which has a lot of stage funny violence in it, and chase, a big chase, which is, John is a part of that, and it's very, very fun. And there's period dancing, beautiful dance that happens in the middle, much like the Capulet Ball. So you see all these scenes happening as Shakespeare's living them, and then he puts them into his writing. So it's really about the creative spark, this play as well. It's about how do stories come to life, and romance right at the middle of it. And we have, I'll let John tell you about our loving couple that's at the middle of this story.
Oh, well, yes, it's a love story within a love story. Matt Schwader and Hilary Clemens, who play the two lead roles that fall in love during the play, Shakespeare and Viola de Lesseps, they are actually married in real life, so they get to fall in love nightly over and over again, and they do it beautifully. That's wonderful to see the chemistry between them, and they're just wonderful to watch. Now, I want to mention that, ironically, even though this is the most modern play that the Shakespeare Festival has ever done, we are in the most traditional costumes we've ever been in. It's really because it takes place during Shakespeare time, say 1598, 1600, something around there. The costumes are really true to the period then. We're wearing those pumpkin pants and the nice doublets and everything. And speaking of the Queen, now Mary Traylor did the costumes, but speaking of the Queen, she makes three appearances in the play, and each time she wears a more spectacular gown. It's really something to see. So the costumes in this show are just breathtaking. They're wonderful. Yeah. They're warm to wear, but it's going to be cool throughout the summer, so that's not going to be a problem.
You keep stressing that. You're really hoping that will happen.
People wear, oh, I don't want to go out there because it's so hot. Well, it's not hot. It's delightful.
It's not hot at all. It has not been hot for us yet. And last night, everyone sitting out watching it were under blankets and running to their cars to get a sweatshirt. It was quite chilly last night.
So that'll start tomorrow night then.
Yes.
So bring a blanket, I guess.
You might want to this week. Well, look at the temperatures.
If you don't need to wear it to stay warm, you can sit on it on the grass.
That's right.
Bring your picnic basket.
You can do that, yeah. I remember you had, if people called ahead of time or made a donation, they could get a blanket and reserved a spot. I forget exactly how this
works. We have option for people. So the festival's free, as always. We do welcome any donations at the gate, of course, but people can walk in, bring their own blankets and chairs if they want, and the gates will open at 6 o'clock. Showtime is 8 o'clock, so they can come out early and bring a picnic. We have delicious food out there for sale as well if they'd like to eat on site.
Did you just say picnic?
I said picnic.
I didn't mean to. You said picnic.
I like the word, though, picnic.
Down-home wonderful thing.
Yes, that's, she watched Yogi Bear as a child and him and his picnic basket.
Yes. I did. Maybe I'm a cartoon. People can come out, and if they choose to, we do have reserved upfront chairs and blanket spaces available. You can call the office to order those, or go online at kcshakes.org and do it online.
Yeah, would that be
816-531-7728?
Okay, I'm glad. I didn't want to give someone's home number here. They would be inundated with calls at home.
No, they can call. We have some lovely interns waiting their call there at the office if you'd like to get some reserved seating, or you can do it online now.
Who's doing the food this year?
Our food truck, we have a great food truck. It's called Roots KC, and there will be burgers and some American-type food, but he is also locally sourcing all of the ingredients and then making British Island-inspired food, so British Isles. So there will be fish and chips. There's a cold melon soup. There will be quail available.
Wow.
Locally sourced quail. There will be Cornish pasties that will either be vegetarian or for carnivores, I guess, with meat.
Uh-huh.
There will be, he's sort of doing just all these amazing, chef-created British Island inspired foods. We also have shaved ice. And
how about adult beverages?
Oh, thanks for asking, John. You can't have those during the show, you know. We will be selling wine and beer out there as well. So there'll be bottles of wine for sale if people want to just get that and sit on a blanket. And I have a charcuterie plate, which she will also have at the food vendors. And don't forget kettle corn, John.
Love the kettle corn.
You know how you like that. Mm, so
I can eat that during the show.
Yep. You can eat it during the show?
Yeah, it gets caught in my teeth. And
to talk, but some of that dialogue does get a little...
if you see things coming out of my mouth, that's the kettle corn.
It's the kettle corn. He actually, when he played... Oberon during A Midsummer Night's Dream, he came up with the idea that he would enter the top of our act two with a bag of kettle corn, like the audience.
Yes, eating my kettle corn.
And I said, okay, let's do it. And it was very fun. It was a good call, John.
It worked out just fine.
I'm sure it did. Yeah, speaking with Sydney Garrett, the executive artistic director. She's also the director of this show. She, along with John Rensenhouse, who in this particular play plays Philip Henslow in the Art of America Shakespeare Festival production of Shakespeare in Love. Yeah, I guess the basic story as the movie a few years back.
Yes, it's 20 years now.
Yeah, so you get a really
that long. That yes, long it's ago. Been that long.
Did it win for Best Picture?
It won Best Picture, won 9 Oscars, I think, total.
People like Shakespeare. They say they don't really understand it, but sometimes I find that hard to believe. You've done a lot of Shakespeare.
I have done quite a... I've been fortunate to play some of the great, great roles here at the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. And you know, one thing, as Sydney mentioned earlier, I want to say, this year you get kind of the best of both worlds, because this is the most modern story the Shakespeare Festival has ever done. So it's very easy to follow. It's a fun romp, but you also get some good chunks of the Shakespearean poetry from Romeo and Juliet, which set against the more modern telling of the story. It really stands out with the beauty that it is, the writing that it is. It really shines, and it's nice to really nice
well,
to
as
hear
you
this stuff.
As you said earlier, a romance within a romance.
Yes, you get that too.
That particular couple played Romeo and Juliet together at the Tahoe Shakespeare Festival a few years ago. So Matt Schwader, Hilary Clemens, married in real life, playing Will Shakespeare and Viola de Lesseps, have already played Romeo and Juliet. So when they knew how to do that when we got to those portions of the play. And I'm like, oh, I'm seeing your actual performance of what that would be like if we did that play and what you did, you know, before. It's very rich.
Lots of people have heard of Romeo and Juliet. Of the people who haven't seen the whole thing, they think they have a concept of what's happening. And the end really shocks them sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, good.
It really, of Romeo and Juliet now. So are you planning similar surprises for...
There are plenty of surprises, actually. There's some things we won't tell you about because they are a surprise. I will tell you that one of the things that I always remember from the film and that some people will have with this if they've not seen Romeo and Juliet is the moment of her waking up in the tomb, you know, at the end after he's just drunk the poison and he's dead and she's expecting to wake up and hopefully find him alive. And in the film, when she woke up and the whole crowd gasped, because it was a brand new play and no one had ever seen it before. And just trying to get that same kind of a feeling, you know, I want that goosebump feeling for some people that, oh my gosh, she's alive. She's waked up. So you want to bring back the surprise of all of that for people, you know?
And of course it's copied all over. West Side Story is a version of it. And there are others as well.
It's true.
Yeah.
John was talking about how accessible this play is. And I want to say that's why we also made a different decision this year. We're playing for 4 weeks instead of 3, so people have more of a chance to come out and see it, and we're hopeful that we're doing as much, you know, obviously we're talking to you, we want to get the word out as much as we can and as widely as we can, but this is a you know, a chance to come and experience this and say, what is this about? Maybe I didn't think I would like it, but I'm going to come out and try it because it's free and give it a whirl and come out and, you know, sit on a blanket and experience it with us. And I think once people come out there, they say, oh, I really do like this. This is a valid and valuable and wonderful bit of entertainment that I enjoy, and hopefully they'll join us this year and come back next year we're back to Shakespeare.
It's a wonderful setting in Southmoreland Park, which, if you don't know, is just just west of the museum.
Of the Nelson
Atkins Museum. In the park there. And it's a nice little setting. I don't know how much the actors would prefer. Would you prefer indoor at the Rose or the Elizabethan, or would you like
those
the park?
Those weren't exactly indoors, but it's wonderful. I look forward to the summertime. I adventure outdoors. You get to really spend all that time outdoors, and it's nice. It's very nice. We sit backstage in our chairs in a little circle in the green patch and wait for our cues to go on. And it gets really magical because when the play starts, it's still broad daylight at 8 o'clock. The play starts at 8 o'clock. But then gradually, you know, as night darkens, when you get into the second act and there's just all those theatrical lights, and it's really a beautiful thing. Sometimes you get a moon up there, and it's all, and a nice breeze, right, Sid?
Oh, gosh.
You've ordered the breeze, haven't
I've
you?
I've ordered the breeze. Okay. This week, I practically can guarantee it, barring any massive changes. I mean, we're just looking at the nighttime temperatures. It's beautiful. And, you know, we've had a little, I don't know what that is, the moon, when it's that little silver slipper. You know, it's just tiny. It's, you know.
The silver slip of a moon.
That's what I call it, little silver slipper of a moon, as we say in the glass menagerie, right? Yeah. But it's been absolutely gorgeous out there. And there's the lawn, and there's all those old, beautiful trees. You know, there's so many old trees. We have one huge tree that is exactly where our set lives, and it frames the set for us too. So, but being outdoors, you know, we've had to make a lot of choices that people doing this play indoors don't have to make, and it is a much more demanding situation for us to tell this story, some of which takes place in one scene on stage and backstage at the same time as it would in the movie. So what you would do in the movie, of course, you just bring the camera out front for a minute, and then you go back there, and then you shoot the back stuff. That's not as easy to do when you're live on stage. So we're doing everything we can to bring the audience along with us, but we have to have actors on stage and backstage being heard and seen at the same time. So you'll have to come out and see how we do that. But
sure,
we don't have any fly, you know, in the theater, you can fly things in from above. You can bring things in from the side, you know.
Or have a turntable.
Or have a turntable, or do downlighting, or do, you know, specific lighting. We can't do any of those things outdoors. So we've had to make a lot of big different choices.
We have to use our theatrical imaginations.
That's right. Yes. Which is pretty great.
And speaking of theatrical imaginations, we probably should talk about the dog a little bit.
You know, there's a dog.
Yes, I've been told.
Everybody
this.
Loves a dog.
John's character talks about that dog all the way through because he keeps saying,
for the play to be a hit, it needs to be a dog. That's what people want. Comedy, love, and a bit with a dog.
Yep, it's one of the famous lines from the story. Jan Rogge, who plays Queen Elizabeth, has an adorable terrier mix dog. His name is Buster. And Buster is a pro with us because he was in our production of A Midsummer Night's Dream a few years ago. So he's back, and he's wearing a ruff collar like they did in one of those Elizabethan ruff collars. And he's to perform before the queen. And things may not go right. We'll see. You'll have to come out and see.
And truly, things may not go right. We have no idea what the dog will do.
No.
Well, did he go back to his blocking from a few years ago? I mean, when animals get something down, it's down.
It is down. And he's a very sharp dog, and he's doing what we need him to do. So there's always just one place where he's sort of, for a moment, free, and we'll just have to see what happens, and the actors are going to have to go with it every night. And, like, you know, that's why they W.C. Fields said, never work with children or dogs.
Yeah, well, that's because he was jealous of them.
I know, because I'll upstage every time. So we're just going to have to give Buster his moment whenever he's there, because no one's going to be looking at anything else, right?
Well, he has one more rehearsal. That's tonight. Then you open tomorrow, June 11th, and we'll run through, as you said, 4 weeks, July the 7th, and no performance on the 4th of July. I guess you don't want to compete with a big celebration.
We've tried before. We have tried doing performances on July 4th in the past, and, you know, once everything starts blowing up around us, there's so many fireworks that it's just not a good idea. So
that means we have a Monday night performance.
We do.
People in the theater industry who might be listening to this can come see.
That's right, because, you know, that's dark day for other theaters. So Monday, July 1st, we will have a performance. No performance on July 4th. And then normally we do Tuesday through Sunday evenings. Park opens at 6 p.m. Showtime is 8 p.m. You can get reserved upfront chairs and blanket space, or you can come in, bring your own blanket at 6 o'clock, find a spot, find your space, create your blanket area. You can bring in some chairs from home. You can make it as much home do-it-yourself as you want, or you can let us help you because we have food and drink available there, or you can bring your own.
The interesting pre-show activities.
Yes.
That's coming back again.
Yes, thanks for asking. Dr. Felicia Hardison-Landre, who's a Shakespeare scholar, will speak before some of the shows. And Philip Blue Owl Hooser, who's also well-versed in Shakespeare, will be talking about Elizabethan period and the theater of the time and the lack of women on stage, which is a key part of our play as well. You know, women were not allowed on the stage at the time, so all of the female parts would have been played by men. So they'll be talking about things like that. And then our Team Shakespeare group, which are a very talented group of teen-aged actors, have created their own parody of our show, which will be available free in the park every night before the show if people feel like they need a, this is what's going to happen soon. Here's a little bit of a description of the story. And they make fun of it and have a good time with it. So
when do they do that at 6:30, 7:15?
6:15 every night.
6:15,
and
two
then
shows,
they'll do two of them, yeah.
Yeah, they parody the show. One year you even had puppets, Paul and the puppets.
Now we do it with teenagers instead. So it gives them a great opportunity to create something and then perform it based on what the play is. So we love to give them that chance, and they're terrific at it. So, yeah, there's some interesting things to do beforehand.
Yeah, and it'll run starting at 8 o'clock p.m., and it's not quite dark then. So do you find as it gets darker, you get more mysterious in your delivery?
Oh, very much so, Michael. No, I got to tell you that when you walk out on stage at 8 o'clock and it's broad daylight and you can see the audience sitting there watching you and eating their chicken, whatever, it's terrifying, Michael. It's terrifying. I hate it, but
hate it? Oh,
yeah. No, well, I hate it, but it's scary. It's scary because I'm used to not being able to see the people out there.
Oh,
I pretend they're not there.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah. No, you can sort of.
I would have thought seeing the audience would energize you more.
Well, for some, perhaps it does. For me, it goes the other way.
I see.
Yep.
Well, we all have different personalities, we react to things a little bit differently. But you always have such a fine cast anyway. I mean, you have some real pros in there every single year.
We do. We have many festival veterans. We also have a bunch of new faces, and they have stepped into their roles, and some of them multiple roles, doing multiple things. This show runs by an amazing crew, I got to tell you. Our stage management crew and all the crew working on the show, our stage manager, Afton Earp, thank goodness for all of them. They have helped us do all of the difficult things we have to do. But it's an amazing group. And I was looking at it last night going, look at this group of actors playing a group of actors all together. There's something very special about that. And I've seen them come out and watch each other more even than ever, just because of the camaraderie and the feeling they have for each other. There's a lot of affection up there. And then you have this couple in love in the middle of it. So it's like there's real actors playing actors in a company. You have a real couple in love playing people in love. I mean, it's very special in that way. Everybody has really pulled together. And it's, it's 27 people to manage all the time and to help us manage everything that has to get done. And it's been difficult some days, but everyone has been amiable and gung-ho and helping to find solutions every day. So it's been pretty amazing.
Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun for the actors as well as the audience.
Yes, it is.
Beginning tomorrow, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock p.m., gates open at
6 p.m.
For all the pre-show festivities going on. And Sid talked about that. You can learn more about that, of course, at their website, kcshakes.org. And all kinds of things will be going on, the pre-show, during the show, things as well as that, too. And you have the added compliment of getting to wonder, what's this dog going to do? Little surprises along the way. The actors don't even know, so we'll find out. I have a feeling he's probably very well trained and he'll be perfect. But
we'll see. It's a mystery, Michael.
Sid has her doubts. The 27th season of the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, Shakespeare in Love, kind of the story behind the writing of Romeo and Juliet.
That's right.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens when they do that. Starts tomorrow night in Southmoreland Park, just west of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. If parking's a problem, look at the streets ahead of time if you can on a map or something.
And park at the Nelson Atkins parking lot if necessary.
That's a good idea.
It's always available. If you're a member, you get to park there free. If you're a member of the Nelson, if not, it's $10.
Okay.
But it's very close to our stage.
Good advice to go.
Yes, I know. Come this week. Please come this week. It's going to be cool. I promise you. Come this week.
She has promised. And she usually delivers on her promises as well. Thanks for coming. Sydney Garrett, the Executive Artistic Director of the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. And John Rensenhouse, who this year is playing the role of Philip Henslow, kind of a theatrical producer. Would you want to do that one day? You keep talking about retiring, but are you going to go into producing?
Well, in a way, my function with the Kansas City Actors Theater, I'm sort of a producer that way. But that's plenty. That's plenty.
Yeah, well, he's not retiring yet.
You can tell when you
look how his face lights up. He's not really serious about it. Not yet, anyway.
No. We won't
allow
it.
Too much fun.
Thanks so much, both of you, for
being here. Michael.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Southmoreland Park. When we return after our break, we're going to talk about another play going on here in town. Boy, not as professional as this one, but they're trying. And we will talk more about Boeing Boeing, of course, a serious drama being done by the Bell Road Barn Players. Oh, a serious drama, you know, based on the Jerry Lewis and Tony Curtis movie about them and stewardesses. So, of course, a serious drama. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Ever wonder if it's possible for excellent actors to save stilted dialogue? Well, a game cast gives it their all, but there's only so much they can do with the latest X-Men prequel, Dark Phoenix. Jennifer Lawrence, Sophie Turner, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Jessica Chastain nearly worked miracles with this script, but it's still a big disappointment. It takes real filmmaking skill to create tension in a story when the audience already knows the fate of the characters. Dark Phoenix isn't quite able to rise from the ashes. The lovable critters from the 2016 animated hit are back in The Secret Life of Pets 2. Patton Oswalt takes over the voice role of Max. Max and his pal Duke, voiced by Kansas City, Kansas native Eric Stonestreet, go on a memorable trip to a farm with their family. This beautifully animated movie is sweet and clever, but doesn't quite capture the magic of the first entry. Still, Secret Life of Pets 2 will no doubt please the kiddies. The sad final days in the life of William Shakespeare are the focus of the melancholy drama All Is True. Kenneth Branagh stars as the Bard of Avon, as well as serving as the movie's director. Judi Dench plays his long-suffering wife, Anne, and Ian McKellen portrays his wealthy benefactor, the Earl of Southampton. It probably goes without saying that All Is True is beautifully acted and produced. Trouble is, it's also quite mournful and slow-moving. All Is True is for Shakespeare aficionados only. Also opening this week, Olivia Cooke stars in Katie Says Goodbye, a drama about a naive young woman who becomes a prostitute. The Child Remains is a horror film about a haunted inn, and John Lithgow and Blythe Danner star in an eccentric senior love story, Tomorrow Man. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
Many criticize evangelicals as intolerant, but are evangelicals themselves also on the receiving end of intolerance?
I think this idea that evangelicals, like, that they're pro-life because they hate women, that's certainly not true. Or that they don't want women to have rights.
That's next time on Inspired.
Tuesday at noon, right after Lynx Mix.
What's that sound, you ask?
It's the sound of one-time-use trash. People get bottled water because of hydration, convenience, and the claim of better taste and quality. Truth is, there's usually no difference between bottled and tap water. The healthier choice is to get a cool, reusable bottle made of lined aluminum, steel, glass, or special plastic that won't break off chemical bits like the plastic used in disposable bottles. Get healthy and keep your world from becoming a big junk pile. Disposables dead. Brought to you by J.C. Herman High School and 90.1 FM KKFI.
Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I am Michael Hogue, your host. Going to change gears now. We're going to move from beautiful Southmoreland Park where the Shakespeare Festival is taking place. We're going to run up north of the river. And I noticed as I was perusing their website the other day, they have taken claim to the title of oldest community theater in the area.
That's right. 65 years. Absolutely.
Okay, say it again. I didn't have the mic all the
time. Oh, I'm sorry. Bell Road Barn Players, 65 years.
Now, there's another theater also with barn in its title that also lays claim to that. Do you want to fight it out with them?
Oh, absolutely. We'll throw down. We'll go to the Arts Asylum any day. They come up north to Parkville. We'll just have to exchange jabs here and there.
The smackdown. A real smackdown. See, now, I would like that. I could cover that, and everything would be fine. That was the voice of Emerson Rapp. He is the director of Boing Boing.
Yes.
About to premiere. Actually, you have already premiered.
Yes, we have.
We began on Friday the 7th.
That's right. We had an excellent opening weekend, and we are ready to wrap things up this weekend. So you still have three more chances to see this.
Yes, and Dalton Pittenger is with us. He plays the role of Robert. Now, I know, see, my only exposure has been the motion picture, a very serious drama.
Yes, of course, as I said.
Featured Jerry Lewis and Tony Curtis and a slew of stewardesses and keeping the ladies apart from each other so they wouldn't get in trouble with any of them.
Of course.
You play the role of Robert. That was done by Jerry.
Yes, I get to do a lot of that shuffling. A lot of that happens while Bernard's out, so I get to do the ushering around, so to speak. A slew of stewardesses, as you put it.
Yes, a slew of stews. They call it Boing Boing because he's an airline pilot.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it turns out, Mark Hemingway, originally when he wrote it, he was just an architect. And so now here he is. He's bringing his friend here into Paris, and he has such a great plan. He just wants to show Robert off because this is the only person he can really kind of brag to. So here's played by Elliot Brest, great actor, pretty new in town, but I'm lucky enough to have him. And here he is talking with Dalton, who's playing our Robert, about how he's able to juggle not one, not two, but three stewardesses all through different airlines because they all have different timetables on when they arrive in Paris.
And it's a scheduling nightmare, but so far, things have worked out for him. But then problems ensue.
Mm-hmm.
As they always do in these sort of things, because why would we be watching it if everything turned out according to plan?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good way to look at it, I suppose. Your character, I don't know, were you banned from watching the movie? Had you seen the movie before you auditioned for this?
I had not. I was familiar with the title. I had seen selections from the script at different festivals and events, but I had never read it, so I read it probably two or three times before auditions. I looked into the movie a little bit, so I watched parts of that, but no, it was all in its entirety, it was new to me during this process.
Right. Sometimes directors don't want the actors to see how someone else has portrayed the role, especially, and I doubt that you do it the way Jerry Lewis played it.
I couldn't possibly, even if I wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the reason why I cast all these wonderful actors is not because they could do a great Jerry Lewis impersonation or Tony Curtis impersonation. I mean, those are fantastic actors on their own. But let me tell you, we only have one Dalton Pittenger. We only have one Elliot Brest. And as well as all the other actors that we have are fantastic standalone people. It's a wonderful, wonderful cast. If I knew that he was starting to watch that movie, I would have slapped his hands. Like, no, I want to see you right there. I want to see you, what you do right there, too.
What else have we seen you in around the area?
Probably nothing.
Probably nothing. All right.
I teach theater at Smithville High School. I went to school at the University of Central Missouri, and a couple years ago I did a little bit of performing there, but I've largely been doing behind-the-scenes crew designer positions, so if you did see me, it's because something went horribly wrong. And so this is sort of my return to the other side of the curtain. So, yeah, you probably haven't seen me anything around town.
Robert is a friend of of the main protagonist in the show.
An old school friend.
And I sense some competition there between the friends. For the young ladies, at least.
I don't think that that's necessarily the intent, but it definitely ends up going there sort of by happenstance. And so there is certainly a little bit of competition, and we see a switch between that and between, oh, my God, we're now on the same team. We need to do all of this. We need to figure this out because we're both in trouble if things go wrong.
Oh, yeah. Big trouble. Big trouble, yeah. It's kind of a, in some ways, a chauvinist type play, but one that has a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think this could be written today, but I still think all three of the actresses that are playing the stewardesses, they are strong, independent women, which you find out at the end, really don't need no man anyways. And, I mean, it starts off, you meet Jessica Michael, who's playing Gloria. She's the American. And second, we meet the Italian, played by Kim Henches. And then in Act 2, we actually meet Gretchen, who is played by Catherine Resbick-Laird. Now, I know she just changed her last name, so hopefully I did not butcher her last name.
think you have that problem?
I have that problem, too, yeah. She's going to be beating me when I get back to rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. And then especially the name changes. That gets to be a concern along the way, especially. Yeah.
I mean, the name change, well, heck, even speaking about name changes in the show, they even make a note. It's like, oh, by the way, it always helps if they have the same first initial. That way, if there's ever a slip of the tongue, you can always just kind of get away with it, too. So.
Yeah. A fun comedy, of course. What made you want to audition for this? You knew it was going to be a complicated, fast-paced, fast-moving,
yes.
I would think, with a lot of... a lot of chances for error, I would imagine.
Absolutely. As many doors as you can stick on a stage, as much energy, the quickest pace you can possibly find. The reason that I auditioned, actually, is I saw the notice for it when I went to see Our Town at Bell Road, and I hadn't been on stage in a while, and I saw that it was going to be over the summer, and so I would have an opportunity to keep doing theater over the summer, even when I'm not teaching at the high school. And so it just sounded like a lot of fun to get back on stage. So it was sort of on a whim. It wasn't really a long premeditation process or anything. I just decided I thought it would be fun. So.
Yeah, well, Belle Roan has several traditions. One is doing Our Town. Was that the first show they ever did?
I believe that was.
It might have been.
65 years ago. Now, I know they did it about 60 to 65 years ago. So Matt will beat me later. He's on the board, and so he'll beat me if I'm wrong about it being the very first show, but I believe it was. So I'm going to nod
possible.
In agreement with you. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's very possible. They've done it a number of times over the years. I remember viewing, even in recent history, the Our Town production
absolutely.
Being done in a number of different locations for the barn, and people will ask, you know, how much do you know about them? And I said, well, I've seen two shows there, but way back when. And yes, they were once in a barn.
Yeah, that's right.
On the property of the founder.
Mm-hmm. Off of Bell Road. Who knew?
Yeah.
And over the 65 years, they've had different homes, and now they have a really fantastic partnership with Park University up at the Alumni Theater. And they're even saying that as much as you can support Bell Road Barn Players, make sure to support Parkville as well, too, because over the past couple weeks, you might have noticed the Missouri River actually rising. So that almost scares a couple people away. But let me tell you, the businesses there are still above water, still serving food, and really just to help out the city. They always encourage people to, you know, come, just enjoy the town, and then come see the show as well, too.
If people have concerns, 9 Highway is the one you would want to take.
9 Highway, still above water, too.
Still?
Yes, absolutely. It hasn't flooded yet.
I was wondering about that.
It's been close. Yeah. Oh boy, it's been real close. But, yeah, fortunately, I haven't had to put on my high waters yet.
But so. you can then go all the way to Parkville, and the university is right on the road, just off of 9 Highway.
Absolutely.
As you go into Parkville.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And, you know, it's a lovely theater. Park, obviously, is just pulling out all the stops for us as well. They have been nothing but gracious hosts for us, so I just want to say thank you very much to Park University and everything that they've been able to provide for myself and Bell Road Barn Players, too. So, yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yes, Barn, of course, it's been in... Well, it's been Parkville most of the time. Mm-hmm. Riverside, it was Park Hill South it was in for a while. Other places as well.
I mean, I was been trying to keep track, because if you've been around for 65 years, it's going to be hard and difficult to maintain a consistent home. I mean, you even look at a bunch of the community theaters around Kansas City. Well, even the Barn Players that we might be quipping with right here, they've had to move, and we understand growing pains, too. So it absolutely is great to have someone that's dedicated for sticking with your mission. So I'm very thankful for that.
Theater had an interesting beginning. Was it Jink and David? Do I have the gentleman's name right?
I believe so.
Professor at Park College then, in those days. And he started it basically so kids would have something to do in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it was on his little farm property on Bell Road. There was a barn. And that's where the theater started. And it was there for many years until, I guess, the mid-80s.
I believe so. And I think after a while, they realized, well, maybe a barn might not be the best place to do it.
Moved during the time I did shows with them. They moved down to Riverside. Mm-hmm. Did several seasons there before, again, a flood came and interrupted things for a while.
It's that darn Missouri River right there.
Went to Park University. Went to other places as well. Back in Park University, where Jink and David actually taught for years. Do they still have the theater's name, the David Theater?
They do. That's absolutely named
after him. That's named after him. And for those of you who may not heard of him, his daughter became a famous actress, Janie Fopiano. If any of you are old enough to remember Janie from Milgrams, that's the same one.
Oh, okay.
And that was her father. And yes, and he put on shows in the summer, which became the Bell Road Barn Theater, which now is presented Boing Boing, which performances will then kick up again on Friday evening, the 14th, that start at 7:30, Saturday the 15th at 7:30, Sunday afternoon matinee on the 16th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Bell Road Barn Players, Park University, 8700 Northwest River Park Drive. But again, you turn off of 9 Highway,
you turn off
Inner Park University, and the theater is up, as I recall, just a little swig to the left.
That's there, right.
To get to the theater.
Just make sure whenever you're at Park University, you're absolutely right. Hang a left, and you can't miss it right there. They've done a good job of putting up signage to make sure that each and every guest makes it to the theater and not to the underground tunnels. It's not going to be under there.
That's right. As I recall, there was a library in the caves up there.
Yes, there is. There's a distillery up there now. There's quite a few businesses up in those caves.
Yeah, college students and a distillery. I don't know about that.
I mean, I think the college students would agree that they mix, but I think everyone else looks at them like, no, not necessarily. I don't think so.
But it's a great place for them to be, you know, if you've had a history, as they have, of having to move for reasons such as floods and things like
absolutely.
That. I'm sure they're happy to be there. Do they have a full season up at the Bell Road Barn?
Yes, they do. So the next few shows that are going to be on the docket is A Murder is Announced, and that is going to be in July, and I know it's going to be the last few weekends in July. And Dalton, I believe you're in that show as well. Is
yes,
that correct?
I am. Yep, that is correct.
Now, what role are you playing? If you've gotten the script yet,
I haven't really looked at it yet.
I get to pass that message along to the other director now too. So
you know ahead of time that you're going to be in this show.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. but you don't want to look at the script because that would conflict mentally with all of this.
Yeah, I try to focus on this thing before. We are reading through that one tonight, so I'll get a look at it tonight. But
to keep the show separate.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine your high school students probably are coming to see you. Anything daunting about that?
A few of them came on Friday, and it's certainly not a show that I would probably produce at the high school level. But of course, I wouldn't want to discourage them because they were really excited about coming, and they seemed to have a really good time. So yeah, it was kind of nerve-wracking because usually I'm the one who gets to sit and watch them, and to have the roles reversed was a little bit interesting. Yeah, it was kind of daunting.
So, well, Mr. Pittenger here, I made notes for you. I hope I haven't encouraged anyone to do that. But you know that's going to come. I'm sure Emerson gives you notes as well. What was the biggest problem with putting this together? Was it the timing because of all the ins and outs? Because there are times, folks, when more than one lady is there at the same time.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's all in the timing. And I've even had to say, all right, so it's a whole choreographed session that we really have to do because – Yeah, when you're reading the script, it doesn't necessarily say, wait, where does everyone go off? Where is this person actually going to be on stage? Or why is this joke funny? So we were having to, like, lay it out. We've had to lay it out two or three times. And, in fact, fortunately, my assistant director, Anna Nissen, she's a wonderful dancer, choreographer, fantastic person to have because sometimes I just don't have the mindset to actually move people. And she's like, nope, you hear, you hear, you hear, and let's do it. So it's all in timing. It's all in the movement. And Dalton can attest, my favorite, I guess, direction to give is like, I need to be fast. I need to be ba, 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 ba. And I think saying ba, 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 ba makes sense to me. But I don't know if it ever makes sense while giving a direction. So hopefully, if you realize it's supposed to be machine gun patter, it's absolutely going to be a quick, well-timed show.
I guess the most commonly used phrase I remember hearing back when I was acting was, pick up the pace, pick up the pace, pick up the pace.
Oh, pacing, absolutely. If you can't get the pacing right, especially for a show like this, then you're just sunk. It's going to feel muddy. And this cast has absolutely accomplished that. And one other actress I forgot to mention, Vicky Kearns, who plays Berta, the maid, she's the one that is able to manipulate just all these wonderful jokes and quips throughout, and she knows when to pick it up and when to just look at the audience and say, like, are you seeing this right here? So it's just a wonderful reflection and just a wonderful way to control the pacing, too.
Her job. Her participation in community theater goes way back at least to the early 90s, probably before.
Oh, yes. I know I've been able to work with her as an actor. I think we first met playing in The Producers. We were both in the chorus right there. And every time I've seen a show with Vicky, it's just been hysterical. It's gone up a couple of notches seeing her, too. So I was lucky to get her. I was lucky to get the entire cast, too. So it's a wonderful team I have to work with.
Yeah, timing, the ins and the outs. Does that get confusing after a while? What door you're taking this gal in, and who are you putting in this other room besides them?
Oh, absolutely. During the process, we referred to the doors by numbers, and so there were a lot of discussions of, wait, is this four? Which one's four? Which one's five? Do I go in four, out five, in four? And so just getting all of those doors straight was probably one of the biggest obstacles in and of itself.
Would you want to direct a show like this? There are several shows that are sort of like this.
Yes, I would love to tackle a farce someday. I'm not sure that I have the chops for it quite yet, but I would like to get there at some point eventually.
Oh, sure. Yeah, The Barn Has a Summer. You mentioned you're in for a show later on. Can we think of the name of it? Or
that's going to be Agatha Christie's A Murder is Announced.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wonderful show. If you want a good mystery, that's the absolute perfect mystery to see. And the only next things that are going to be on the docket for Bellary Barn Players is they have a fundraiser in the fall. That's going to be their Halloween fundraiser. Last year they did one for a stage reading of Beetlejuice, and this year it's to be announced, but it might be based off of a Halloween movie that Bette Midler was in, so I can't say exactly. Who knows what that could be? You never know. And then there's going to be the second annual Awkward Christmas, in which there's going to be local playwrights and local actors doing small vignettes about Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, all the different seasons.
So I recall it was dealing with the relatives at holiday time.
I mean, if it's half of the battle right there. You deal with the relatives, and you're like, okay, time to go now, guys.
Sure.
After 3 days.
Oh, sure. Like I said, they specialize in doing Our Town and Quilters as well. Don't forget Quilters. They specialize in doing that show for a while. Have they done that one in a while?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I would have to look
up. Janie Fulpiano was always in it because she was the known name in town back in those years. But they did Quilters. They did Our Town. But they've done a lot of the plays as well.
And I know they are planning on their next season, but unfortunately, I can't say what they're going to be doing next season. I don't think it's been officially released. So I'm not sure if Matt was even supposed to tell me, but I think I twisted his arm. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So I know, but I'm going to leave it a mystery, and it'll be announced later, after a murder is announced.
You can go online for a lot of this. I guess once it's announced, it'll probably be on their web page
first.
That's
correct, yes.
That's bellroadbarn.org. And the number to call, and I assume you can make arrangements via this number, probably online as well, but 816-587-0218. Performances continue Friday the 14th at 7:30, Saturday the 15th at 7:30, and Sunday the 16th at 2 o'clock p.m. matinee at Park University, 8700 Northwest River Park Drive, Parkville, Missouri. If you need to MapQuest things, 64152 is the zip code you need to feed in, and you'll get to see one of the, if not confusing, surprising comedies, Boing Boing, the story of two playboys, let's say, and the ladies in their life.
And the ladies in their life, absolutely.
That's a good way to say it. Lots of ins and outs and all of that. So you need to pay attention while you're laughing to see what goes on there.
When you said ins and outs, that's the perfect explanation. And just trying to figure out like who's where and trying to figure out, all right, how are we going to deal with this? And you don't know. Maybe they don't get away with it at the very end because just don't go off of the Tony Curtis and Jerry Lewis movie. There's a little bit of difference right there. So I want to challenge you.
You can always do more on film. You can cut.
Oh, that's right.
You can have different angles. So you probably do have it much more difficult than they did. I know the New Theater Restaurant, I guess, did it, now that I think, a few years ago. But that's the only other time I've seen that show done here in the area.
Oh, that's actually funny because the reason why I wanted to direct this, when I first moved to Kansas City, one of the very first shows I saw, and I believe this was in 2008 or 2009, is when I saw Boing Boing produced here at New Theater Restaurant. Instantly fell in love with it. And, you know, this play has been around for well over 50 years. And I half jokingly in my director's notes, I say, well, it's been around for 50 years, translated into dozens of languages. Clearly, I can do it better. So I try to put my own spin.
Young men like flavor. A challenge. putting on the show as well as within the show. Both doing things as well. Thank you both for coming with us today. Boing Boing. It's a production of the Bell Road Barn being performed at Park University. Performances continue this Friday night at 7:30. BellRoadBarn.org and the number you can call for info as well, 816-587-0218. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Both of us for being here. Emerson Rapp, the director, performs as well.
Performs as well, yes.
And Dalton Pittenger, who will be on the stage as Robert. He'll be doing something else in a few months.
Yes, absolutely.
Along the way. And then do you not do anything during the school year?
I have my own season at the high school, so we do a couple shows, but I don't do anything else. My plate is full enough with our school season, so that's what I occupy myself with during the school year.
I'll bet so. Well, thank you both for being with us. Boing Boing, opening up again this Friday at the Bell Road Barn at Park University.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being with us. The Jazz Insider is coming up next. We're going to have some great jazz this afternoon. We're going to have jazz from 1 to 3. Then we'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.